All right. Do you have your Bibles with you?
Yes.
Amen. You should say no. I've hidden your word within my heart. All right. If you have your Bible, please, Galatians chapter 6 this morning. I want to remind you of something before we get into this text today. Paul has taken us in through these first five chapters, and as is ever the case with the Apostle Paul, Paul is always going to give you identity before he gives you application. Paul is always going to tell you who you are ever before he will give you a hint of what that might look like. So Paul is always going to be 80% identification, 20% application. Now, in this last phase of the epistle, we are into the application phase. And what I would say to you is this. You can't do the 20% unless you understand the 80%. But if you understand the 80%, let's have the 20. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you get it, if you understand what this life of grace is actually about, if you understand that ultimately when the sap is in the bark, at some point in time, that which is on the inside has got to work its way out onto the outside. It has to do that. Now, that's not works, it's just nature. And the nature of grace is exactly that. So it's important that you hear that. Because today I'm not going to be able to go back and keep making markers for you about the basic identity of who you are in Christ. Because six chapters into Galatians, that's been banked. So if you haven't understood that, or you haven't been here for that part of the teaching series, I want you to understand that you're hearing me teach the... Let me say this to you. In fact, let me say this, get you to say to each other. We are teaching in this last phase the business end of grace. You understand that? We're teaching the business end of grace. Now, there is a child end of grace. And in the child end of grace, I am developing my confidence in God. In the teenage phase of grace, the middle phase of grace, I'm developing the competence of God. But in the father phase of grace, I have become the confidant of God. And we're talking about the confidant of God phase. So that's important that you understand that. All right, just a quick reminder for you as well as we move through. Please register for the Radical Conference. This year's conference on the theme of Philippians, Radical Joy, I think you're going to find very, very interesting. So, without further ado, Galatians chapter 6. I want to use a text I don't normally use, but I want to use it because it steps this text out for me in a way that I really like. And I'm going to read you from the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version is useful because it's louder, and sometimes you just need it amplified for you, you know? You just really need to hear what's being said. So let's read the text together. Here's Paul says, "Brethren," Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin or any of any sort, you who are spiritual..." Now, this would be a very, very good statement to highlight in your Bible. So, you who are spiritual, says the apostle, what I want you to do is, in other words, he's saying, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore him and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself. Yes, you also should be tempted. The writer says, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults. And in this way, fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it. For if any person thinks himself to be somebody too important to condescend to shoulder another's load when he is nobody of superiority except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. Now, I'll stop there for the moment. You get the hang of where Paul's going with this, right? All right, now the point is this. You and I, as the confidants of God, are burden bearers. And this is really, really, really important. The Christian community is the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. And this is wrong. Grace restores. Grace reinstates. Grace restores and grace reinstates. Now, I'm going to take my time with you today because I just want you to... This is such an important text, particularly for a community like this one. I don't need to rehearse for you why this is an important text for you. You know why this is an important text for you. So let's watch as see what Paul says. What does that first statement say? What's the first thing you read that Paul says? What's the first word in the text?
Brothers!
Here's a question. How many of you have siblings? Keep your hand up if you've fallen out with them at some point in your life. Right. Did you find a way back? Isn't that interesting? You have siblings, you fell out with them, but you found a way back. Why? Why? Because you love them. Why else? Which means? Which means? Say it loud. Bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. We are one. You hear that? Paul doesn't say, churchgoers. Paul doesn't say, pew dwellers. Paul says, brothers. Because he wants you to understand that it is possible, no, not possible, highly probable, that at some point, some amongst us are going to stumble and are going to fall. Did you know that? And Paul says, brothers. Brothers. Brothers, he says, if anyone is caught in a transgression, if anyone is caught in any transgression, he's saying, any one of us. Oh, and by the way, that doesn't let the sisters out, just so we're clear. Brothers and sisters, here's the qualification. You ready for this? If anyone is caught in a transgression, the King James says, is overtaken by a fault. How many of you have ever been overtaken by a fault? Do you know the main reason why people don't come back to church after they've been overtaken by a fault? Let me tell you why they don't come back. Because the church is peopled not by the prodigal son, but by his elder brother. And what they don't want to hear when they come back having been overtaken by a fault is, I told you so. You should have listened to me. If only you would have done this. You should have prayed. You should have done, you know. So many people who are our brothers, there is no way back to them because the door to reconciliation, the door to wholeness, the door to restoration is blocked by a Christian. Or is this just my experience of life? Come on. The children have gone. So we need to, this is the business end of the gospel. So I'm going to get rough with you because it's important. Now watch. And so Paul says, okay, if anyone, brothers, let me rewrite this for you. Churchgoers, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are religious, fix him. Churchgoers, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are super spiritual, deal with him. No, he doesn't say that. He says, you who are, what? You who are spiritual. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, now concerning spirituals, eagerly pursue spiritual gifts. Why? Because they build up, because they encourage, because they restore. You who are spiritual, rebuke him in a spirit of self-righteousness. You see that? That's not what he says. But that's our mind. You who are religious, sanctimonious, and self-appointed, when you catch someone in a sin, you need to rebuke him in a public way, in a spirit that makes him sure he'll never do it again. No, Paul doesn't say that. He says, those of you who are spiritual, restore him. Restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Paul says, speaking the truth in, we build one another up. Some of you have a gift for speaking the truth. But if you can't speak it in love, don't speak it. The goal of discipline is restoration. The goal of discipline is restoration. The goal of discipline is not punishment. It's not revenge. It's restoration. And the moment we miss that, we don't have a penal system. And by the way, sin is not a crime. It's a sickness. If it was a crime, I could kind of understand why you'd want to punish it. But it's a sickness, and sickness doesn't need to be punished. It needs to be healed. And those of you who are spiritual, Paul says, can you restore these people in a spirit of gentleness? Let me tell you something about this, because you're going to need to listen to this today, because at some point in time you're going to find this, you're going to encounter this if we haven't already encountered it to date. But the fact of the matter is, if your brother or if your sister is overtaken by a sin, what is still true about that person? Thank you. They're still your brother. They're still your sister. Which means that you don't get to disown them just because they don't fly right. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For reasons that are in the unseen realm, we've all been drawn together, you and I. I don't know why. I don't know why we're here and not someplace else. I don't know why you're here and not someplace else. But for some divine reason, God has put us in this space together. From different countries, with different aspects, with different rhythms, with different views. Some of us have lost big. Some of us have won big. Some of us have been overtaken by some faults. Some of us have been overwhelmed by others. but for reasons that are in the eternal realm, we're together. And that, my dear friend, means this. We're a band of brothers. We're a band of brothers. We're a band of brothers. And brothers pull for each other. Brothers fight for each other. Brothers stand for each other. Brothers pick up their wounded and carry them across the line. That's what brothers do. There's a beautiful story. I'm not sure I remember it in full, but it's a beautiful story about some time in a war. And these two friends that were brothers, two soldiers together, they were fighting in the war there, and one of them got shot. And as they ran back, one got back to the trenches and the other one didn't make it. The other one was lying in the middle between the kind of no man's land between the trench and the army, you know. And he got into the trench and he said, where's my friend? And he wasn't there. He said to the commander, I've got to go back and get my friend. He says, you can't go back, that's a suicide mission, you can't do that. You can't get out and go back and get your friend, are you insane, you'll die. He said, he's my brother, I have to go. Got out the trench and ran. He made his way across to his friend and found his friend and last dying breath. And his friend looked up to him and his last words were these. I knew you'd come. Because they're brothers. If anyone is caught, overtaken by a fault, brothers, those of you who are spiritual, restore him, will you? Paul does not have a view of the gospel where you can embrace the gospel and not embrace one another. That's not a view that Paul has. Paul has a view of the gospel that says we are one together. We are brothers, you and I. Now, this may not be your view of church. I don't know if it is. I don't mind if it isn't, but it is what it is. We are brothers. Those of you who are spiritual, if somebody is caught in a transgression, restore them in a spirit of gentleness. We're brothers, not pew dwellers. The Proverbs say this, a friend is a friend at all times. A loving friend at all times and becomes a brother in times of trouble. Have you ever been in trouble? Has it ever hit the fan for you? Did you have a brother? Did you have a sister who would be prepared to go beyond what everybody says, risk their reputation, believe the best in you? Let me tell you something. The only thing more precious than having a brother is being one. You see, if we are to move from being a church to becoming a spiritual community, then we're going to have to look at ourselves very carefully and ask ourselves some very deep and searching questions. You see, there's a very good reason why Facebook and various other social media are popular. They're popular for the same reason that church is popular. And let me explain the reason to you. Because they give you the sense of connectedness without the demandingness of intimacy. They give you the sense of connectedness without the demandingness of intimacy. Bless you, Greg. But when you are a brother, How many of you understand there's a difference between being a brother and a Facebook friend? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Here's the question. At IGC, are we brothers or are we just Facebook friends? You who are spiritual. Paul doesn't say, as I've said to you already, you who are super spiritual. Just you who are spiritual. You who are spiritual, if somebody is caught in a sin, in a transgression, restore that person in a spirit of utter gentleness. I don't know why I feel like the need to labor this point today, but it's just on me, so I have to just push it on with you. Maybe it's a word for somebody today. Maybe you have find yourself in a situation where you need a brother today. Maybe you're in a situation where there are people in your life that need you to be a brother, that need you to be a sister. Maybe there's somebody around in our world that we've pushed to the edges because we don't like their behavior. Maybe we've missed the shape of that somehow. But I don't think there's much prospect of me teaching you five verses today because this is the one that just won't leave me alone. For those of you who are spiritual, restore that person in a spirit of gentleness. Those of you who are spiritual, what doesn't that mean? The spiritual man accepts what is. That's what makes him spiritual. He has the capacity, or she has the capacity, to just simply accept what is. The religious man demands what should be. I want it like this. I want it like that. But the spiritual man accepts what is. Grace is the acceptance of what is. It's a deep acceptance of what is. The spiritual man accepts. The religious man condemns. Somebody wrote to me some years ago about a particular issue, a fault, if you will. And they said, what's your view on this then, Mr. Grace Teacher? And I said, well, I'll give you my answer to that. It's very simple. Grace gives me the luxury not to have to condemn you or not to have to condone you. All it gives me is the instruction that I'm to accept you. My job's to tell you who you are. It's the Holy Spirit's job to tell you what to do. And I figure if I do my job, I'm pretty sure that the Holy Spirit's capable of doing his, don't you? The spiritual man goes to Calvary. The religious man goes to Sinai. You can never, ever, ever, ever take somebody back to Moses. We're finished with that. The law is gone. You cannot take a transgressor back to Moses. We're not under the law, you're under grace. The spiritual man does not pass judgment. The religious man lets the gavel fall. Grace has but one statement to make to those who have fallen. It's a wonderful statement. It's a statement that comes from the very mouth of God. It's a statement that drips with the honey of Christ. It's the same statement that the Lord himself used when they found a woman caught in the act of adultery and brought that woman before Jesus and put her there and said, Teacher, the law says. And the master said, neither do I condemn you. That's what grace says. Because we have been given, my dear friends, the ministry of reconciliation. Neither do I condemn you. You see, because grace is this ability to accept what is, to accept my situation, to accept your situation, to be able to say it is what it is. And then Paul says, now listen carefully, listen, Paul says, I want you to be sure you don't miss this bit, Paul says. Keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. Keep watch over yourself, Paul says. Don't you know what happens the moment that you start shooting on people from a very great height? You shouldn't do this. You oughtn't do that. The Bible says, the moment you start with all that, I'd never do that. How many of you have ever said that? How many of you have said, I'd never do that? How many of you ever just got all prissy and kind of, look at what he did. Or look at what she did. Gosh, if they were only as spiritual as me, I would never have got involved in that. Well, read your Bible. Peter said, even if all of them leave you, they'll all walk away. You know what they're like, these kind of Sunday morning, Easter Lily Christians. Not me. When it comes to it, I'll be with you because I'm a stand-up guy. I'll be with you right to the very end. And Jesus said, oh, I've got something to let you know. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, my friend. The Bible says to those of us who don't understand this, when swelling and pride come, then emptiness and shame come also. But with the humble, those who are lowly, who have been pruned or chiseled out by trial and renounced self, it is wisdom and soundness. I can't stress this to you enough. Do not put your mouth on it until you have walked a mile in the other person's shoes. Keep yourself quiet. It's amazing. It's amazing how you can find grace for nobody else in the world. But when it's me who does something wrong, well, there are mitigating circumstances. You don't understand my position. This is what I understand. You and I have been called ministers of reconciliation. That is the calling that we have. We are ambassadors of Christ. God is making his appeal through us. And Paul says, therefore, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we may become the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. We are ministers of reconciliation. Paul says that I want you to bear with one another's burdens. Paul says, I want you to be burden bearers. In the second verse, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Burden bearers. And this is the point I want to reach really today. You're a burden bearer. There are burdens that you are called to carry, and there are burdens of others that you are called to carry. We are the people of the second mile, the people that will go the second mile, the people that will go the extra distance. Because what you do under compulsion, what you do because you have to, is no good. There's no glory in that. There's only glory in that which you do because you don't need to do it. And Paul is saying we're burden bearers. Now this is important because this is the point I'm making about the child and the teenager. The child, if you've raised children, you'll know the one question the child wants to know is, how can I? When you get teenagers, they get a new question, why should I? But when you get fathers, they ask the question, for whom can I? Because they've moved on in the things of God. Now, the statement is, bear one another's burdens. Be burden bearers. That's the call, that's the requirement, that's the standard, if you like. But I want to tell you something important. Well, no, let me ask you the question. How many of you ever feel that you're burdened by more than you can carry? You ever feel that way? Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because that's something I've been feeling a lot recently, and the Lord's had to really talk to me about this, and I'm glad that I'm having the opportunity to talk publicly about it. Let me tell you something. If the burden you are carrying is too heavy for you, my guess is that the Lord didn't tell you to carry it. Or, if the burden you are carrying is too heavy for you, my question is, why are you carrying it? Because the Bible says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my... That's exactly right. You may have been burdened by the Lord over certain situations. You may have the burden of the Lord on your life to write particular things. You may have a sense of destiny, a sense of destiny that's beginning to move in your spirit, a calling to do something, a call, who knows, to the nations, a call, who knows, to whatever. But you may have that drive, that calling, that burden in you, that burden to be a healer, that burden to be a reconciler, that burden to be a restorer. I've got a burden in my life which has to do with the work I do, and it's a burden to me sometimes. But it's a burden to me sometimes because sometimes I don't have the spiritual bandwidth to stay online, because if I just listen to what the Lord is telling me, he says to me, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. And he's saying to me, cast your burdens onto me. He's saying, if I gave you a burden to carry, then I will give you the strength to carry it. And if you don't have the strength to carry it, it's because I didn't give it to you to carry. Hello? But I do, I am burdened, I'm drawn, I've got to do it. But not I. Not I. It is Christ that lives within me. Whatever assignment the Lord will give to you will not be a burden to you. And if what somebody else is doing looks burdensome to you, that's because God didn't give it to you to do. He gave it to them. Grace restores. That's its majesty. That's its power. And we have to think carefully as a community of people what that looks like to us. But grace restores. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, though, lest you too be tempted. But bear with one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. Then he has reason to boast. His boast will be in himself alone, not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. Maybe today you have in mind the friends and people that you know who are burdened, who are troubled. Maybe you are burdened. Maybe you are troubled. Maybe you are caught in a particular situation. Maybe you've been overtaken one way or another. I just want us to take a few minutes. I'm going to ask Alex if he can got the CD that I gave you. Just, I want you just to listen to a song. It's a song I really like because it, I don't know whether I theologically am thrilled about it, but I like the value of the song. It's simply wanting to say, we fall down, but we get up. And our whole message, the whole point of this message of grace is that we restore, is that we reinstate, is that we love again, is that we trust again, is that we go again. Father, I am conscious today, each of us will know saints that have fallen down and they need a helping hand to get back up again. Maybe we've fallen down and we need a helping hand to get back up again. Maybe we've got ourselves lost and stuck in a place that we'd rather not be in, have been overtaken, overcome by something, and we've fallen down and we just cannot get back up again, and we need someone to help us get back up again. Dear God, let there be a hand that reaches out through the shame, through the guilt, through the embarrassment, through the difficulty, through the regret, through the I told you so's, and helps us get back up again. In Jesus' name, amen.
The question that we dealt with was, what does it mean to be spiritual? We came up with to pray for one another. This comes back to being a brother, to talk to different people from different walks of life. This comes to being an active individual, actually talking and listening to these people, not judging them, and also carry each other's burdens and treat each other like brothers.
Amen. Wonderful. That's great. Thank you. Ryan, what's happening in your group? Anne-Marie. That's no good, is it?
We looked at question one a bit more broadly than what it was, in terms of what are the restrictions? What is it that really hinders us from fully treating each other as brethren, brothers and sisters? And the ideas that came forth were in terms of we need to go back to our first love, because, I mean, it's difficult to do it in our own strength, to because of the reasons for lack of trust. And there are so many structures, like social structures, how the houses are constructed, in terms of laws, government laws, and everything that happens in the natural as an impact on the spiritual life. And in our day-to-day life, how we relate in terms of the wider community, we find out that when we come to church, all that mistrust and everything seeps into our relationship with each other. Because if we grew up, and some people are saying that if you go back to the 70s, the 60s, where people could come into your house, you would leave your door open. I mean, people were more open in terms of even correcting each other's children. But because of laws, regulations that we have now, you can't even look at other children.
Don't even correct their own children, let alone anybody else's.
Yeah. So as a result of that, the same thing is transferred into the church.
Interesting. But I presume you guys saw a huge difference between this idea of church and community. Yeah, I think that's right. Good. Okay, next group. Are you back in business, Graham? Look.
Yes.
We looked at question two.
Uh-huh.
What does it mean to be spiritual? And then some of us said, they were said gentleness and loving kindness, tapping into the word of God, connecting with God, and being helpful with others. Somebody said to be able to help people, say, for example, if they can't pay their rent, being practical with something like that. Others said having faith in God, having an identity in Christ, being born again, filled with the Spirit of God. Then it was about having a great response. What is your response to other people? To wait on God, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to rely on the Holy Spirit, accepting people as what they are. And then we asked, how do you then practically put that into daily life because of the daily pressures? And we had, you know, ask God for the strength, and strength, God has given us the strength. Love is very important, to look beyond what people are, telling the truth in love, and what asking ourselves, what would Christ do before we do something? That's it.
Thank you. Good stuff. Okay, Muriel, what's in? Who's...
We had two Georges in the group, but George number one is going to answer up today. But we were going great guns, and then all of a sudden at the end, when you asked us to fold up, we had a very theological debate. So
that wasn't George number one's fault. George number one wouldn't do that, would you, George number one? No, that's for George number two. I can see, that's why I knew it was George number two, because he's been put in the... Can I just say, restore him in the spirit of gentleness. He does. George.
Thank you. We did question number two. What does it mean to be spiritual? Some of the answers have been given out already. However, we looked at being filled with the Holy Spirit, and what does that produce? The fruits of the Spirit, like you already said in your sermon, to accept others as they are, accept people, and see things from their point of view, support them and not condemn them, understand things from God's point of view, react, behave from God's point of view instead of being in the flesh, you know. And some of the guys and ladies actually talked about to reflect the mind of God in what we do, see things from grace point of view, as opposed to law, to listen to others, to see things from the point of view of love, to be there for others instead of our own desires, to be guided by the Holy Spirit, to live in the Spirit, rest, abide in the Spirit. And one of the gentlemen actually said, the principle of being spiritual is to empty ourselves, die to our own needs, die to our own desires, die to our own things, die to the things of this world, and live for others. Amen. Yeah, to be compassionate, Christ-like, live like Christ, see things, you know, from Christ's point of view. Yeah, I think that's what we said. But then the theological debate was, can you be spiritual before being born again?
Well, I've got a better question. To Christians, can you be spiritual after you've been born again?
There you go. So if you can...
Let me rephrase it. It's not so much a question, it's just a request. Will you please be spiritual after you've been born again? Thank you. Good stuff.
Right, the questions ran into each other actually on our group. We talked about church can be like Facebook for people. You can log in and out as you'd like to. If you want to do that. Now, often people do that because they actually are in quite a low place in their life and they don't actually want to tell people where they are. They don't actually want to talk about it, and I think they often feel that no one else would know actually how low they are, and no one else in this place has ever been in the place that they've been in. So that's why they often walk in and out of the church without speaking to anybody, and it's something that we all ought to be very conscious of and watch out for people that might perhaps need a little bit of befriending, not judging or condemning or saying I know everything, but befriending. Also talked about the fact this church can be quite transitional, so it can sometimes you can have people coming in and people are moving. So the big thing that came up here was the good idea of small church groups, which actually everybody sitting here happens to be in, a cell group, and how you get to know people, and actually that's where you do become very trusting of other people. You know that you're not going to be gossiped about, because this is another thing that people log in and out of church because of. They don't actually want people to know about their business. They worry about confidentiality, really. They don't want to be gossiped about. That isn't being a brother, obviously. But within your small groups, you actually get to know people and you do bear each other's burdens. And you can study the Bible and actually get an understanding of the Bible in a better way. People were saying, well, they don't want to actually be constantly moaning and saying that they're down as well. And church can be very disappointing for some people. They worry about being judged. They talked about the Holy Spirit, and to have the Holy Spirit inside you all the time, people can see that in you. They can see your bond with Christ. It goes into every aspect of your life, and you're constantly growing spiritually. You don't suddenly become spiritual and just sit there like a stone. It's a constant growing. And he talked about how we learn a lot from listening to other people, and they like to hear people's testimonies and know where they've come from and how they've managed to get to where they are now and how they've been held up, and how you don't have to worry about what you're saying because the Holy Spirit will always speak for you. God will speak through you.
Thank you. Great conversation.
Sorry, Graham. Okay, we had a good discussion in this group on question number one. However, we forgot to write it down, so here goes my memory. We looked at what it means to be connected, really.
Yeah.
And really, coming on a Sunday, sitting next to people, listening to somebody, you don't get that connectedness. You just get a sense of coming and belonging and going again. And we looked at what really makes us connected and where we should be as a spiritual community, being able to call on people and share with people. And again, we came across the small groups and how when you're in a smaller fellowship, actually, you get to know people a lot better in a more intimate way because you have that time. We looked at the social aspects of things, and actually a lot of time if you start socializing with people and doing, you know, we've had church lunches and things like that in the past, we've gone to the, you know, picnics, those are the times when you've got time to sit and chat with people and you actually get to know people in an in-depth way. And that brings about that sense of community. We also looked at the thing that you know, sometimes I think we would be ready to accept people and bring people back in. But when we are going through things ourselves, we feel embarrassed because we don't think other people would accept us in that way. So a lot of the problem, I think, is down with us not being that free enough to share.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's everything,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Good stuff. That's really good stuff. Okay, Aubrey.
Thank you. Yeah, now, it was interesting to hear what the kids had to say because we looked at question number two, what does it mean to be spiritual? And Travis had said to have a relationship with God. Isaac said to be accepted of things around you. Wumi said spiritual brothers and sisters accept what is. And is it Saeed? Yes, yeah, Saida said to open up to God.
Hey, that's good.
Savannah said praying and having a conversation with God. Joe said living in Christ. Samuel said being holy. Maynard said sharing each other's burdens and being open to people's situations. And also spreading the word of God. Angela also said the same thing as her son, having a relationship with God. Nathan said acting out the word of God, as in the application of God's word, and speaking out your problems loud to God. That was very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Donna said praising God in joy and happiness. So it was really good to hear, you know, what the kids actually had to contribute in regards towards what it means to them spiritually. So yeah, that was their contribution. Thank you.
Some serious wisdom going on there, young people. Thank you. Good stuff. That's great. That is great. And finally, last but by no means least. Oh, look at that. You got to do the extra mile for the last one.
What did we say? We looked at question number one. Have a quick look at question number two. Question number one was the main one, really, and the analogy of Facebook and church. So we had two camps. We had the Facebook fans, and we looked at how Facebook can help us to connect with people and you know, just catch up with people, you know, particularly if they're international,
yeah.
You know, people are around the world and, you know, or people, long-lost friends. And acquaintances. And then you've got the camp who are not in Facebook for reasons of time, because it does require time, and reasons of just not interested, you know. And we looked at, when we talked about a bit more about the whole idea of Facebook, it was basically about getting in people's business, wasn't it? It was about gossip.
voyeurism.
Voyeurism. Yeah, that's a good word.
Tweeting.
You know, I can see what you look like, and make a judgment based on what you know the information that you're giving to me. Yeah. So, as opposed to actually getting with somebody, them having your telephone number and them giving you a call and saying hi, how are you, and then actually having the time to sit and listen as you respond to that question, how are you, regardless of what that might entail. It might be something really big that they really didn't have time for, but you know that question, how are you, how you respond to that is really an indication of, you know.
Great stuff. Very, very good. Well, you know what? I'm going to give over to the service over to Graham, but when Colin comes at the end to just close with in a song, I do want us to be thinking about those that we know that have fallen down. Because you know what? There are a lot of people that this time last year were in church worshipping, and this year are at home disillusioned, disappointed, to use your expression, from your group, disappointed. And we need to speak to that. We really do need to speak to that. Because there is a mandate, I think, that is upon us as a group of people to gather in the outcasts. It's really, really, really the business of God. So, Graham, to you. Thank you very much.